Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, Book of Daniel. What does Daniel translate? My God is judge, and He is. You don't judge anyone. You have the right to discern, but let God do the judging. He does not need our help in that. We come to the 11th chapter, and an angel direct from God, along with Michael, is going to tell us how it will be in the end times. Now, when an angel delivers it, you want to count on that pretty well. I want to make one thing clear as we come out the gate that I think will be helpful to you in this chapter 11. Verses 1 through 4 are already history to Daniel. Verses 5 through 20 will be future to Daniel, but not to us. But everything from 20 on in this chapter is future even to us now. So perhaps that will help you. And I will be giving some supposition as we go along concerning the Ptolemaic and the Seleucid kingdom. Chapter 11, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, verse 1 reads, Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. This would be Michael talking, verse 2. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. That would be Alexander the Great coming in. 3. And a mighty king, Alexander, shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And so it is that he would. One more verse for history. 4. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. And not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. In other words, he's going to lose it, and they're going to lose it. Now, anytime the four winds are mentioned, the four winds of heaven, and you know from chapter 10 that there is a war and a conflict going on in heaven as well as here. And this is why there is a great shaking. And in the end times, it won't only be on earth, but it will be in heaven. For we know the false Messiah is going to be cast out to this earth. And woe, the rejoice in heaven, but woe to you on earth, for he knows he has but a short time. Now we go into the future for Daniel. Verse 5, And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion, and his dominion shall be a great dominion. And this was the Ptolemaic kingdom, which would cover synchronize it for you. It would be about like Egypt of today. It would be Egypt of today, the Ptolemaic kingdom. Verse 6, And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. I think that supposition, I think you have to take this as their religion. Their religion is shared, and yet at the same time, they have much consternation and dispute among themselves about the various laws of the Ptolemaic and the Seleucid kingdom, even to this day. Synchronize it in your mind. Ptolemaic, Egypt, Seleucid, Iran, Iraq, and many of those places. Daniel in the 10th chapter was taken to the river Hiddekel, which is the Tigris River, which runs right between Iran and Iraq. And there he was taken to that spot and shown all the trouble that would befall there. And so it was. So they didn't get along all that well when they tried to agree. It is true, even in history, supposition again now, that the Shah of Iran, which was the Seleucid kingdom, he was well liked by the Ptolemaic ruler at that time, Sadat, and was pretty well Nasser even before that. He was pretty well, they got along pretty well. It was what followed soon after that when the Khomeini would take over the Seleucid kingdom, Iran, that things began to get tense. Verse 7. But out of the branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. It is true that the Ptolemaic kingdom or Egypt, whenever the Iraqi-Iranian war, the eight-year war, began, they had more troops on the line than any other outsider outside of Iraq, old Babylon itself. Verse 8, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods and their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. And the Shah was, he was driven out when Khomeini took over, but he did bring much of the wealth of the nation with him, so to speak. And believe it or not, though he would come to America for a while for medical reasons, then he would settle in the Ptolemaic kingdom, which is to say the king of the south would invite him. Verse 9, so the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. Verse 10, but his son shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. I don't know how many of you can remember the day that the so-called Prince of Peace, that's what they called Anwar Sadat of Egypt. And they loved him. And he had pretty well brought peace. He'd even talking with all the neighbors. And there was a great parade taking place and a huge army. One of the trucks stopped and headed for the platform on which he and his senior officers stood. And when they got closer, he raised his hands and said, "My sons, my sons." And about that time, they opened fire and killed dozens of them. I mean, butchered them right there on this set. You know who one of the leaders was of that group? I mean, this shows you what different opinions of religion will do. Was none other than the little doctor that runs around even to this day with Osama bin Laden and is his so-called medical doctor and releases many of the tapes that you have from that particular group. So they're trouble. All in the name of religion. And so it is. Verse 12. And when he had taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. This war took place. There was, I forget how many million were slaughtered in the Iraqi-Iranian war. They would even on the Khomeini, his generals, would through the minefields that were laid, they would run little children out through the minefields to detonate the mines so the troops could come in and fight. Now, being a military person myself, that's totally out of my realm of thinking, is that you would do that to children. And you would know, or should know, God's not going to let you win when you use tactics of that nature. for God's still on the throne. God is still in control. But that was a terrible war. Many people died in that war. And really, it accomplished zilch, nothing. Next verse, please. Verse 13. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And here we're moving on toward the end times. We know that that king of the north, being the Seleucid kingdom, that he's even visiting this country at this time at the United Nations, 14. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also, the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. In other words, who is they? That would exalt themselves? The Kenites. Okay, they kind of take a back seat to this whole affair. Verse 15. Seemingly, don't worry, they'll be back. 15. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. That's going to be quite a battle. And the will of the people and the deception and the lies and the leadership, you want to be well aware of. Many fall simply by losing the popularity or the will of the people. 16. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. Now, the glorious land, of course, is Jerusalem. And even to this day, the Gentile, or these people, still control the Dome of the Rock. That is to say, the most sacred place on Mount Zion. It is the rock on which many things have taken place, and what a precious place it is. But it will remain in those hands until the Lord returns and takes it over for himself, one and for all time. 17. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give up the daughter of women. The religion comes in again, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, and neither be for him. There are many. I never judge religions, but there are many sects in the Islamic belief and faith, and some go to the extreme. Most the Wahhabi. It is a word you don't hear all that often, but it is from the Wahhabi that comes many of the, they think death and Sharia law is the way to go, and that's their opinion, and so it is. Verse 18. Excuse me. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. And Libya, on it goes. But a prince of his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. It's going to fail. You know, a house divided, as the teachings of Christ, it cannot stand. And when you have this sect against that sect against that sect, there's more bloodshed shed within the Seleucid and the Ptolemaic kingdom than there is to other people in the world. So really, it's almost like a civil war. Verse 19, and this will end the history. Then he shall turn his face towards the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There's going to be one conflict that's going to be rather severe, and so it is. Now we come into modern history, verse 20, and then we're going future even to ourselves, so you want to pay attention. This is not written by man, but by Almighty God. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. He's just going to be put out of office. Now, a raiser of taxes can fit many roles. One taxation we have upon ourselves is the fact that we do not drill using our own commodities of fuel. And for some strange reason, our fuel is held, and we have to purchase oil from the two kingdoms we've been talking about. Billions on top of billions on top of billions of dollars every year. And so you see within this, somebody's raising taxes to almost destroy our nation if you're not careful. Won't happen. But somebody's sure working overtime at it. It would seem that that untried methods that will not work in a free world are trying to be fostered upon us. You want to be real careful. But the raiser of taxes will not be taken out by anger nor in battle. He'll just go. Now we go to the future. Verse 21. Listen carefully. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. This vile person is the Antichrist. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. What? They think he's Christ returned. Or if, I don't care what faith you are, if you're a Buddhist, you're going to think it's Buddha. Because he will be saying he is. He's the head of every religion. And he performs, as we learned in the great book of Revelation in chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, that he performs miracles that are amazing in the sight of men. I mean, right visibly before everyone. And they're all going to receive him thinking that he is the Father. Why? Well, most people, they are told, beware of the apocalypse. Everything is going to blow up. Everything is going to be destroyed. The great tribulation. This is the tribulation of Antichrist. And why many people are deceived. He comes in peacefully. Not with war. Not with destruction. But trying to save your soul. And where is his home? And what is he saving you to? Hell. That's where his home is. The false Christ will hold revival after revival, and many will fill the pews of his church, thinking he is the Messiah. That's why he's called Antichrist, which in the Greek means instead of Christ or instead of Jesus. They think he is. Why? They haven't read God's Word. They haven't studied God's Word. Anytime you see a commercial or something else advertising a book that shows destruction at the end, that is Satan's own tool of deceiving people. I don't care who puts it out, because it's just the opposite, and that's the reason many people will be deceived. He comes in peacefully and prosperously. Even at a time when financial trouble is aglore, he's going to help you with your bills. Oh, just forget it. It's all yours. I'll give you more if you love me, if you'll worship me. A lot of people can be bought, especially if they're ignorant of God's word. Flatteries means telling you what a nice person you are. Peacefully and persuading you and really fishing for men. 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflowing from before him. A flood of lies. deception, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Even the main people, most people that think they're real Christians, fall for his ilk. When he comes in peacefully and promising eternal life, I've come to rapture you away. Get in my wagon, let's go. That's what Antichrist's message is. That's what the mark of the beast is to understand that you're going to worship the beast instead of the true Christ because you think he is Christ. What a sad state of affairs. Verse 23. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Do you know who these small people are? The word in the Hebrew is goy. And the goyim are nothing but the Kenites. And well, why does he come strong? Because there is his own blood. There is his own offspring. So where would you expect him to go? And where would you expect him to? Who would you expect him to bless? Don't ever forget that. This will come up again. The Hebrew word is goyim. 24. He shall enter peaceably. Don't you ever forget that. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, the spoil, and riches, and give them everything. Pay off your bills. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. We're going to have a time, times, and a half time, only we know it'll only be for a time because Christ has shortened it to 5 months. It shows here. So, I don't know. Can you be bought? If Satan comes along offering to pay your bills, if you'll worship him, when you know as a Christian, you're hell bound if you do. Just for one little fanciful moment, you're going to worship him? I think not. I know God's elect are not going to worship him. They're going to stand against him. The Holy Spirit will speak through them, and he will not be a happy camper because of it. But as it is written in Luke chapter 21, what comes out of the mouth of God's elect by the Holy Spirit speaking, even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say. What a wonderful time to live. Don't ever be frightened by these aspects. Don't ever be frightened by these events because God is with you. This is why God, in this same book of Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace, they weren't singed. Why? Because Christ was with them. Christ takes care of his own. You are his own. He will take care of you. Or just as Daniel was in the lion's den, and Father put the little kitties right over in the corner and says, shut your mouths. And Daniel made it just fine. Why? God was with him. God is with you when you're his elect. And you don't fall for his forecast devices, his one world system that has brought peace to the world. But at what a price. What a price. A quick trip, a one-way ticket to hell to join his little group. Raptured out of here. That's what his message is. 25. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they... Well, who's this they again? The goyim, the small people, the Kenites, shall forecast devices against him. All this is palavering, politics, the four hidden dynasties, which is to say, religion... That's most foremost, financial, educational, and political. That's the way it goes, and those are the devices that he uses. Talk, talk, talk. But peace, peace, peace. But there won't be any peace until the true Prince of Peace returns at the seventh trump. So That small people kind of surfaces again and begins to take over, playing Emmanuel. Verse 26. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. There are many that are going to die a spiritual death because they're going to worship him. But God, there's only one unpardonable sin, and that's for one of God's elect to worship him and refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through them. That's not going to happen, because I know God's elect. They're ready to stand against him. They're ready to war with him spiritually. 27, and both these kings' heart shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, and yet the end shall be at the time appointed. God's own control. Treachery is the name of the game. Okay. Treachery, treachery, treachery. Not able to trust anyone. But the false Christ will always reign as Savior of the world. This is why that all it is ratchet join, and he will stay quite well in control. 28, then shall he return into his own land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, that's to say real Christians, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. He's going to really, in a sense, make people turn against themselves if you're not careful, but it won't happen. Verse 29, at the time appointed, this is important, at the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or the latter. Why? Things are going to change at this time. This is when the false Christ really steps up. 30, what is the main problem though? For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved in return and have indignation against the holy covenant, so shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. In other words, those that he has deceived, those that have turned their back on the true Christ and are following the false. You need to know what the word Chittim in the Hebrew tongue means. It means bruisers. In other words, the bruisers are bruising him. This goes back to one of the first prophecies in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it is written concerning the woman's seed and Satan's seed, the serpent's seed. He said, they're going to bruise your heel. I'm sorry, you're going to bruise the woman's seed's heel, that's Christ nailed to the cross, but they're going to bruise your head. And so it is the bruisers, that's God's elect, delivered up. This is why he turns his back on the covenant, our covenant with our Father. Why? Because he wants to be the Father of fathers, the God of all forces. He really thinks he's that good. And many people will be deceived by this. Do you know the main reason they will be? Because they have not studied God's Word. You know, there are ever so many Christians, even, not to mention other religions. I mean Christians that say they're saved, but they don't even know that the false Christ is coming first. Now, how saved are you if you follow Satan and worship him? Do you think Christ is going to take you as a virgin bride if you have been with Satan? I don't think so. That's not the requirements. The requirements are that you stay true to our Heavenly Father. So the bruisers will do a great work, as it is written in Mark 13, which we covered in the last lecture to quite an extent. The abomination of desolation, the desolator spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And those bruisers will stand up. The Holy Spirit will speak through them. And many things transpire at that time. Verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, here you have the formula. How is it that they took away the daily sacrifice? That's where animals were sacrificed. Well, what did away with that? Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 10? Lo, I come in the volume of the book to die to be sacrificed one time forever so that you never have to sacrifice another animal. And naturally, that was when they cut off the Messiah, crucified him, they thought. But he resurrected into eternal life and sits at the right hand of God, engineering things. And at the seventh trump, this happens in the sixth, but at the seventh trump, he returns as true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all this will be put aside. But we must suffer this first. Why? Well, it's a testing of the people. Have you read God's word? Are you familiar with how things go down? Or are you going to be deceived by the flood of lies that Satan brings forth? Well, how do I prevent that? By understanding God's word. We will be speaking quite a bit about the taking away of the daily sacrifice and the placing of the abomination that of the desolator, false Christ. Okay, and it will create even a cipher that we will use before we finish this book. One more verse, 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That is, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, the God's elect will do exploits. They're the bruisers. They're going to witness against this. They're going to stop it with the aid of God. But he flatters people, that do wrong, that they're doing right. In other words, what he does, he makes that is wrong right, and that is right wrong. You see a great start at this today when you hear Christianity mocked, put down. But don't let that bother you. Hey, I've read the back of the book. We win. They're the ones that are going down. So just relish it and enjoy it. The idiots can try to put away Christianity all they want to. We win because we are the children of the living God, as everyone is. And when they see the true Christ, they will know that they've been had. Hey, don't miss the next lecture. This is yet future, and it is telling you what happens in the end. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please? Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times, of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them. And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moves. You got a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. Father judges, and his word is the path that you follow when you want to overcome. Don't ever forget that. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request. You don't need the number. Don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. In the Greek, he is called the kardionor. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking without you saying it out loud. No one can ever prevent you from praying because they don't even know when you're praying. if you choose to pray silently. So, therefore, Christians are always winners. Always remember that. Why? Because God loves us, watches over us, protects us. That's His example. And so let Him know that you love Him in return. All right? That's what He wants from you. Let's approach His throne. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with, okay, this is Wade from Maine. Wade, your mother's and your mother studied God's word, loved God's word, studied with us, and she's with the Father, and you will see her again. So rest easy and rejoice. George from Texas. Is John the Baptist the only man born with the Holy Spirit? Luke 1:15. He received the Holy Spirit the day that Christ was conceived. For Mary went to her cousin, the Levitical lady, when a daughter of Aaron, which was Mary was half of the Levitical tribe and half of the Judah tribe, making Christ both king and priest. But on the day of conception, Mary ran to Elizabeth's house. John was 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth, and he leapt in the womb when the Holy Spirit was near. But that is the God's elect were chosen in the first earth age. And God's Spirit is always with them, though many of them don't realize it. Why? It isn't what they have done in this earth age, but there. They earned the right for God to intercede in their lives to accomplish what God would have them accomplish, to bring to fulfillment the scriptures as it is written. You can document this in Romans chapter 8, beginning reading with about verse 26, where it says you don't even know what to pray for. That's why God intercedes in the saints. That's the set aside ones' lives. That they are foreordained, meaning from before, with that Holy Spirit. Patricia from Iowa, do you believe the Shroud of Turin is actually the linen that covered the crucified body of Christ? I very much respect your opinion. Well, you know, it is a negative picture. And when you take into consideration that at the time of Christ's crucifixion, and this does date, though some may say it doesn't, to that time. How did a negative picture appear on that cloth when they had no material or anything to create a negative picture? That would be like you in the old camera, you take a picture and you get the negative, okay? Something happened with that shroud. A resurrection. A change. That left that negative image. And I would certainly never doubt when you look at the facts concerning the shroud. But observe, we're watchmen, just watch. Pastor Murray, this is Stan and Sherry from California. I have a couple of curiosity questions. When we get to heaven and we are angels, which the Bible says are messengers, who will we be sending messages to, or will that part of being an angel stop? And we have other duties. Well, you'll have other duties. It's of serving God. And Revelation chapter 22 gives you a peek into it. And even in the millennium, you have a much from chapter 40 to the end, certain things. But the interesting thing is that as it is written in Revelation 22, once a month, you approach the tree of life, which is Christ. And He gives you a healing that you can't, when it's properly translated, it means you can't be bored. You don't get down. It just really picks you up. What a wonderful time that's going to be. The other question I have is, I noticed in one of your sermons long ago that you had a red leather bound Bible. Do you still use this one, or do you still use the black one that is used on television? The black one is my favorite, but when we have a meeting away from a building whereby we ourselves control the lights, many times like in auditoriums or like the Grand Palace in Branson and other places, we don't control the light. And so I usually take a new Bible that is bright with clear print or large print, whereby I can teach from it even in poor lighting and do pretty good. Otherwise, my old Bible is a little dim, but my notes are there and I love them. Okay, Logan from Indiana. My name is Logan. I'm 12 years old and I live in Indiana. My question: when we all go to heaven, my dad says that he will be my brother and my mom will be my sister. I said, I don't think so. Please explain. I have learned so much from you and thank you. I watch your ministry every morning. Well, God bless you, Logan. For 12, you're right in the Word and you're doing good. You know, in a sense, you're both right, because we are all children of God. And that, in a sense, makes us spiritual brothers and sisters. But you might, Logan, as you well know, in Ezekiel chapter 44, we still recognize our families in the millennium by blood relationship, such as in Ezekiel 44, verses 20 through 25, if you have a relative, if you're one of God's elect, number one, and you have a relative that wasn't and maybe in a little bit of trouble in the millennium, you can go to them. If it is a mother, brother, sister, unmarried, and so forth, father, and give them a lift, give them a little discipline to help them make it. But we are all children of God. So you're both right, and I'm so happy you're studying with us every day. That's great. Bernice from Florida. I know that Daniel did not bow down to the god that Nebuchadnezzar had made, so why wasn't he placed in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys? Is there a reason why Daniel was left out of the third chapter of Daniel? Yeah, it is. He was gone. It is believed, and I think probably scholarship pretty well documents it, that he was at Shushan, the palace, okay? And he was not there when that happened. And you know, the evil ones have a way of dividing and conquering. And with Daniel being the main voice, I think they thought they could whack off the other three while he was gone. Didn't work, because Daniel only appeared to be the main one. God was the main one. Without God, we're really not much of anything. But God gives, even in this case, Daniel the wisdom to understand. God gives us wisdom to understand His Word when you pray about it and ask Him, especially if you're going to use it to teach with, to share with others. That pleases God when you care about other people other than just yourself. So that's the reason God deserves all the credit. I believe this is Barney from Maryland. Maybe your spelling kind of trails off there, and I'll say that's correct. Thank you for teaching God's Word. Considering buying CDs, is that tithing to the church, or do you have to be separate? Also, I was asked to show my sister in the Bible where it states that we will know family members in heaven. Well, I just got through quoting it. Ezekiel 44, verses 20 through 25. Our tapes are strictly teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And you tithe to be taught, so it falls in that category. Okay, Gail from Ohio. Thank you for your welcome. I enjoy teaching. Question: If you anoint a person, where do you put the oil at, or do you drop it from the bottle, or do you put it on your fingertip? and maybe you apply it between their eyes. Well, you simply take the vial and put a little tip of oil on your forefinger, and you want to remember, what are you doing? You're anointing with the oil of our people. Why? Because Christ told us to. He said, if you have someone that is ill or has a problem, anoint them. And so you anoint them in the forehead and ask Christ, ask our Father to do the healing or the driving out or whatever the case may be, but ask it in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. That is your credentials, that you believe that Christ was the only begotten Son, and that and so it is. So that is how you anoint. And many people even anoint the doorpost of their house and order anything evil out if they're being bothered by anything. And a lot of people will say, well, I've never heard of anointing for Christians. And, you know, that is really a sad state of affairs. It documents, they don't even know what the word Christ means. And that's sad, isn't it? It is to me. If you do not understand what the word Christ means, Christos, it means the anointed one. And the etymology of the word even comes from as rubbing, as anointing with our people. So you're supposed to anoint. That's the way of Christ. Dieta from Georgia. From my understanding, we are not to do away with the law, but blood ordinances. That's correct. If so, the fourth commandment is about the Sabbath. What is the true Sabbath? All my life I've been taught it was Sunday, but what is the seventh day? Well, do you worship a day? What is it that 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 say? It said that Christ became our Passover. Our Passover is Christians' high Sabbath. It is not a day of the week. It is Christ. What does the word Sabbath mean? It means rest. And if you're not in the true Sabbath, which is to say Christ's rest, peace of mind, you're never going to have peace of mind. In Hebrews chapter 4, it makes it very clear that Christ became our Sabbath. Read Colossians chapter 2. Don't worship a day. It was nailed to the cross with Him. Okay. So, what are you saying? We're children of light, not darkness. It's one solid day all the way to the end. Worship Christ every day. Worship on whichever day you choose, but worship Christ every day. He is our Sabbath, not some day of the week. Pat from Wisconsin, I need to know the answer to the following question. When our Savior's feet touch the Mount of Olives, does that mean the millennium begins? Absolutely. That's the time. When does that happen? You can teach it from the Old Testament or the New Testament. That is the seventh trump. But you can also teach it from the 14th chapter of Zechariah, where it says, His feet will touch the Mount of Olives and open a way right to the east gate. That begins the millennium. And do you know what happens to us at that time? We are all changed into spiritual bodies. Some will take part at that moment in the first resurrection, which means not only will their bodies put on incorruption, but their soul will also take on immortality. But unfortunately, many will have an incorruptible body, but they'll still have a mortal soul. Mortal in the Greek tongue means liable to die. It means they got to go through the millennium, and maybe, just maybe, they'll take part in the second resurrection, as is written in Revelation chapter 20. James from Virginia. Is it true that we people should not give or to receive blood from one another because our DNA is different from each other? Not true at all. You know, I am a military person, and I've got a lot of friends that are alive because they receive transfusions. Ignorance is a strange thing. But people that do not understand God's word. You see, God said, I don't want you to eat anything in the blood. Why? It means if you kill a chicken, you wring its neck and let it thump around and bleed itself. Or it's going to be putrid. It's not going to be good for you. Or if you butcher an animal, you bleed it. You don't leave the blood in it because it will putrefy it. It'll be unfit to eat. That's God's way of butchering animals that you intend to take for food. And some people will say, we're not supposed to give blood. It has nothing to do with that. At all. So don't let anyone confuse you with that. God's word is so simple and so pure that it is you really going to stretch to not understand that you're talking about a health law that has to do with food, not life-saving. Bobby and Ann from Arkansas, our sons are in churches that teach the rapture. One is a pastor and the other a deacon. And one is a new Christian. What can we do to change them from rapture to God's truth in His Word? Well, be gentle. You know, you're supposed to fish. You can't overload their donkey, okay? How do you fish? Well, you go out there and you gently move that bait until it's taken, and then you sink the hook and draw them in. But you can't throw the anchor at them or put a stick of dynamite out. That's not real fishing. So you set the example, and many times it's good to say, well, hey, I've been studying with a person that's teaching against this. Why don't you try to help me prove that he's wrong? And by that, you would order my tape on the rapture doctrine, or theory, whichever it is, the title. And listen to it where you have it down real good, and then ask them to disprove it. Many times that will work, that you're asking your sons to help you, that you might even be being misled. Okay. And I've seen a lot of people. But do remember this. You know, if a pastor is licensed or his credentials are with a certain organization, his retirement and everything, and if he drifts from that, he loses it all. But it's better to lose that than to lose your soul. So naturally, that's not a hard decision for most people. Terry from Virginia. I have basics of the Bible. And that happened, of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Is it possible to think that I am called of God and maybe I am not? Pray and study every day. Well, it would seem that if you have knowledge that the false Christ is coming first, you're one of God's elect. You're going to stand against Him. And, you know, a lot of people have trouble thinking, well, I'm sure not an angel. I don't know why God could use me. Well, he seems to think so. He thinks you're pretty good. Because why? Well, once I don't care what you've done. Once you repent and God forgives you, it doesn't exist anymore. So in your eyes, in his eyes, you're fine. Why? Because he cleansed you. So be happy to serve him, okay? I'm sure you're trying, and that's what it takes. Charles from Minnesota. I have heard several pastors talk about the end times and saying that it will be as the flood of Noah. Then they say everyone is given and taking in marriage, just marrying whomever they wish. From your teachings, I have learned the truth. Where in the Bible did it talk about those things, being the sons of God, marrying the daughters, except in Genesis 6:2-4. Matthew 24. Christ said it when he was giving the events of the seven trumps and the seven seals and the seven vials of how they would come to pass. He said in the end times, or at that time, they're going to be giving and taking in marriage again as they were in the days of Noah. which means with the fallen angels. This is why Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, a woman should keep Christ above her head. A lot of people translate it hair, and it is written hair, but it means to be, in the Greek, to be covered, what, with Christ, to have Christ over your head, because of, in verse 10, the angels. They're coming back, and they're very, very convincing, tempting. Clarence from Florida. At the last trump, we will be changed into a spiritual body. Does those who have passed away before the last trump have to wait until... No, they're already there. Okay. This is what Paul was talking about, that so many people get confused with thinking that you're going to be raptured. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, you better believe that all those that are asleep in him have risen also. They're not out here in a hole in the ground, and I am out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but most of all, God does. He loves you for that. It makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. Bless him. He'll always bless you. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, again, blessing God, he will always bless you. But there's one thing most important. You listen to me good here. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying.